The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller, with you on this Thursday, fourth day of February 2021. We having fun yet? Mike's in there giving me the whoopee signal. Yeah, whoopee, we're having fun. Well, let's start off with a group of people that aren't having any fun. Well, maybe they are. Now, James O'Keefe has built up a pretty good reputation for himself. And he's cracked some stories, and he's gotten a lowdown. As a matter of fact, he's trusted enough that people that want to blow the whistle go to this guy. Why? Because they know he's not going to give them up. You see, this is what happens when you do serious research, serious journalism. You know, the government will tell you that, well, we need to have your witness, or we... And then when you don't present where you got your information, and you're not required to do so. You know, speaking to a journalist is akin to speaking to your Catholic priest in the confessional. Okay? It's just between you and him and God. Yeah. And a priest, even if you walked into a confessional and said, look, Father, I just murdered my whole family last night. He's not going to jump out of that confessional and go dial the police. He can't. Well, he could if he wanted to, but by holding that confidence in the confessor to the confessee or vice versa, it's one thing you don't want to do. Julian Assange, classic case. This guy did not hack anybody. Whistleblowers came to him and he put out the information, which was pretty damn true and correct and factional. Did I make up a new word? Factional? Yes, I did. Don't confuse with faction. Oh, quit gestating over there. At any rate, this time he goes after the New York Times because not one, not two, not three, not even four. No, the impossible, not even five, the unbelievable, six. And this is really hard to swallow. Seven reporters over to New York Times have been ganging up on Project Veritas. Now, if I were the New York Times, I wouldn't go around trying to beat up somebody that's trying to tell you the truth. Because you're not? Is this revenge? Is this anger? Is this your marching orders? How are you surviving, New York Times? I know you were one of the biggest at one time, but how big are you now? And is there any money coming under the table from any foundation so you guys stay afloat so you can continue to cancel? You know, that's the question I want to know. Here is Project Veritas and James O'Keefe explaining the latest outrage here. And right before the program, I kid you not, I did not see this story until I sat down and opened up my emails, and somebody was nice enough to email it over to me. Thank you very much. It's not about who puts on the best show and the best fight in politics anymore. The name of the game is winning. Forget ethics. Forget morality. Forget honesty. Just forget common sense. The object is to win. And if that is the case, all the previous mentioned foibles and personality, you know, honesty, integrity, and, you know, stuff like that, is no longer needed. The name of the game is to win, no matter what you have to do to win. Now, far be it from these clowns in Washington, D.C. to be statesmen. And they're the antithesis of it. But what are the politicians teaching Americans in any town, USA? It's okay to lie as long as you get what you want. Really? Well, seven reporters from New York Times, they ganged up on the wrong guy. They just ganged up on the wrong guy.
The New York Times is once again printing lies, intentionally omitting facts, manipulating other facts to fit their own bias and political agenda, and to harm Project Veritas. This week, the Times published a very long story headlined 77 Days Trump's Campaign to Subvert the Election. This story has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Seven reporters took a very cheap shot at Project Veritas. We're going to take you through it line by line. So in this A section article from the New York Times, I wonder if they're going to call this an unverifiable expression of opinion, with seven bylines and even more unnamed sources, the New York Times references Richard Hopkins. That was the mailman in Erie, Pennsylvania. You recall, he's the one who overheard his supervisor and the local postmaster talking about backdating late-arriving mail-in ballots so they could be counted. As you recall, Hopkins was the whistleblower, the mailman. We interviewed him, and he told us on the record the following.
So I was able to hear him listen in, and I heard him say to the supervisor that they messed up yesterday. What did they mess up on? And he told the supervisor that they had postmarked one of the ballots for the fourth instead of the third, because they were supposed to put them for the third.
The New York Times then says in this article, quote, earlier that day, however, the postal worker had recanted his statement in an interview with federal investigators, even though he continued to push his story online afterwards. His affidavit, it turned out, had been written with the assistance of the conservative media group Project Veritas. Hopkins, a combat veteran and a family man, had only one good reason to tell us this story. It was true. He didn't like it. He guessed, later to be confirmed, that coming forward with the truth could cost him his job. But he did it anyway. Postal Service moved quickly, not to investigate the allegations, no. Instead, they sent an agent from New York to Pennsylvania to intimidate Hopkins and, quote, harness the storm. Hopkins secretly recorded that interrogation, and thank God he did. Let's take a listen.
This storm is getting crazy, right? And it's out of a lot of people's control. And so the reason they called me in is to try to harness that storm, try to reel it back in before it gets really crazy.
I am trying to twist you a little bit, because in that, believe it or not, your mind will kick in.
Okay.
I'm not scaring you, but I am scaring you.
Now, at the end of this 3-plus-hour interrogation, Hopkins signed a document allegedly recanting his statement about what he had overheard. However, no one other than the postal inspectors, it seems, have actually seen that document. Hopkins himself asked for a copy, and here's a recording of him asking these federal agents
to... Are you capable of sending that to me so I can make changes or whatever?
I can't answer that. That would be his boss, but we certainly can see.
Now, Hopkins has yet to receive a copy of his statement, but somehow, just after the interrogation, the Democrat leadership of the House Oversight and Reform Committee was leaked. They were leaked the story and claimed in a tweet that, quote, Hopkins recanted his allegations. Again, no evidence, no source, no signed documents. We have a recording of Richard Hopkins and these federal agents. They have nothing. The Times took it as gospel. No corroboration, a flat and complete denial by Hopkins himself, again on videotape, and a recording of himself with the federal agents, and still, the New York Times reports it as a fact. Hopkins was so incensed about the lie that he had recanted this story that he recorded himself again, saying that just wasn't true.
I am, right at this very moment, looking at an article written by Washington Post. Says that I fabricated the allegations of ballot tampering. I'm here to say that I did not recant my statements.
Now, you would think that a paper with the reputation of the New York Times would want to see that document before reporting it as fact. But even if they had seen the document, Hopkins says he was coerced. The tape of the interrogation proves it, and that tape is online. But the Times doesn't want to report that story. Now, we are suing the New York Times for defamation over a different story where they lied about us. On this latest travesty, we just want them to tell the whole story. When it comes to serious reporting, omission of facts can be just as dangerous as outright lies. We here at Project Veritas believe in truth and telling the complete story.
Well, well, well. So we've got a lawyer up now? Is that the idea? Fox News is getting sued for $2.7 billion from Smartmatic for putting out erroneous information about their voting machines. Now, when you're in Lawyerville and you got a lot of money, this is to be expected. You gotta pay these guys that protect the administrative state. They're there to make sure justice is served for their client paying them. Yeah. Doesn't have anything to do with the truth. Have you yet to see a defense attorney turn down a case because his client was guilty? Why? They'll tell you because everybody deserves a defense. And that's true. But these prosecutors and defense attorneys and judges, they already know. When a client, scratch that, prisoner, a person detained, charged, whatever, comes into that courtroom, it's who you are right now and who you've been in the past. Well, you see a lot of attorneys when you bring up issues about the people's character and what they've done in the past, and oh, please, Your Honor, he's throwing himself on the mercy of the court. Yeah. Yes, it is true. Everybody deserves a good defense. But how do you defend the indefensible? Well, you get a bar card. That's how you do that. All right, switching gears. I'm going to hop all over the place here today because I'm in a hopping kind of a mood. By the way, I've got to dig up who this guy is. His name is Hogg. He's going to go up against Lindell and Making Pillows. Now, I didn't even read the first line of that story, but I'll bet you dollars to donuts that it's some liberal asshat that thinks that he can go out there and pick up the accounts for the pillows that were vacated, or, I'm sorry, Mr. Lindell was pushed out of areas that he could no longer advertise in. He's all over Fox News still, but that's about it. Poor Mike Lindell. Tried his damnedest. I mean, here's a guy that was, what the hell was he? He was a crackhead or something? And then he found Jesus, and then he found shredded pillows, and the rest is history? I'm not quite sure, but goody for him. Yeah, crack addict, and yeah, okay, all right. You know, you know, politicians will try to get ahead of the game by putting out a story that, well, it's got a basis in truth, but it's bent, you know, way out of proportion. It's called getting ahead of the story. Because some enterprising person is going to turn up some salient fact that's going to make you look bad. And if you know it's bad enough, and enough people know about it, they just ain't talking about it. You get ahead of that story. You set the narrative. And then a lot of the chicken crap journalists will say, oh, well, he addressed that situation. Okay, let's move on. Nothing to see here. Right. Yeah. Where's that 13th Amendment when you really need it, huh? Yeah. Yeah. Well, JoJo's eliminating jobs got us back into the climate Paris Accord, which is going to destroy more jobs. He's a job destroyer for the sake of the Green New Deal. Would they be opposed to burning John Kerry for fuel? Is Botox explosive? Would he just like blow up or something? No? Well, yeah, let's keep eliminating. I heard a figure the other day, and I have yet to see. There may be up to 70%. It was hanging around about 50. Hanging around. Businesses that are gone are never going to come back in this country. 50%. Now I'm hearing it's closer to 70. So what's JoJo here doing? With his mask crap and the COVID crap, and Mr. Fauci's making a comeback with that stupid little smirk on his face. Oh, yes. Yeah, wearing two masks is good. Mm-hmm. CDC came out and said, you know, there shouldn't be any yelling or coughing or anything like that at the Super Bowl. And a thought hit me, Mike. Now, they gave, what, how many hundreds or thousands of tickets to first responders that got vaccinated? It was 2,500 or some crap like that. Well, you don't have to worry about them yelling and screaming because they're going to look like one of the cardboard cutouts. They're going to put dead people in the stands. And you're going to be able to tell the difference between a cardboard cutout and somebody who took the vaccinations. That'd be almost funny if, I'm sure that probably somebody even thought about and considered, what do we do with these bodies? Well, gosh, they're our first line of defense. More and more people, folks, are finding out about this vaccine and they ain't taking it. Hallelujah. Well, as JoJo continues to destroy the economy, Democrat House is working on a spending bill, a 2021 spending bill. This is for 1 year, folks. 1 year. Spending bill of nearly $6 trillion. Of course, leaving a deficit of $4 trillion. You know this, and I know this, but the public at large doesn't know that we're over $150 trillion in debt. So when you look at it from that aspect, and you're one of these assets in Washington, D.C., what's another $4 trillion bucks, man? We're already in the hole. We're not going to get out of this hole, so what does it matter if a few shovelful more here and we just dig it a little bit deeper? Why not? Who the hell's going to notice?
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What the was an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our ease-off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the ease-off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my ease-off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile oxysilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
We're playing a little game here with our board operator. He keeps potting me down, and I keep looking over at him and making him push that pot back up. See, this is the only time you really pay attention to me after 13 years. Jeez.
At any rate.
Well, yeah, folks, it's they're going to work hard for you in Washington, D.C. The Democrat House is working on a spending bill for fiscal year 2021. Now, this 12-month period started on October 1, 2020. This behemoth of a bill calls for a budget of more than $6 trillion. Now, reading their own paperwork, new budget authority, for purposes of the enforcement of this resolution, the appropriate levels of total new budget authority are as follows. Fiscal year 2021, $6 trillion bucks. But don't worry, it comes down a little bit. In fiscal year 2022, $4 trillion bucks. 2023, $4 trillion. 2024, $4 trillion. And on it goes. And it takes a bump in 2029 to $5 trillion in fiscal year. How do they know this? Because they've already figured out what they've got to pay off. The debts and obligations of the federal government, both past, present, and future, is all kind of figured out. Now, and then they go into the deficits. For purposes of the enforcement of this resolution, the amounts of the deficit are as follows. Well, gee whiz. It's not even $4 trillion for 2021. What's the other $2 trillion for? Buy people's cell phones? Pay a month of their rent? Let us not forget, folks, the time bomb on the new bubble is ticking. You know, they were screwing around with the mortgages before, did that mortgage-backed security stuff in 2008, which was illegal as hell. But it's kind of like Jersey. Everything's legal in Jersey as long as you don't get caught. And every one of these damn budgets is way under what they're asking for. Way under. I said $4 trillion for 2025. They're saying the deficit's going to be $1 trillion. What's the other $3 trillion for? And if you don't think, now it might be easy for some people to go, oh, those politicians, they never owned a business. They don't know what it's like to balance checkbooks and it. Yeah, give me a break. I'm of the opinion that they're all in to drive this country into insurmountable, can't get out of it debt, setting up the Mac Daddy of Hegelian principle. Well, we started the problem, and see how bad it is, and well, here's our solution. What do you think that solution might be? Cashless society? Think about all the wonderful aspects this will bring the government. The surety people, you know, for the Fed Reserve. Oh, that's the IRS. If they think you owe something, well, they'll just automatically forget even going to their little, what they call a tax court, which is nothing more than one of their bumbling bureaucrats in that administration, sitting down and reading you supposed law out of their book that doesn't mean diddly squat. I got news for you, IRS. You're illegal and unconstitutional. Hello? So is JoJo seeking to finish off the rest of the struggling business owners? Well, if business owners were hoping to catch a break in 2021... after having been completely victimized by government lockdown procedures and left-wing rioting, and they don't want to brace themselves for another turbulent year as JoJo's administration begins its reign in the White House, while revealing his new $1.9 trillion plan for combating COVID-19. Oh, we're going to spend almost $2 trillion on combating something that's not even there. Whew! JoJo included raising the federal minimum wage to $15 an hour, one of the oldest and most debated topics in the subject of economics. The minimum wage debate, although having been refuted time after time, again continues to be brought up by the progressives and those who tend to lack a basic understanding of economics. While there's nothing wrong about lacking any knowledge in economics, Rothbard put it best. He said, "It's no crime to be ignorant of economics, which is, after all, a specialized discipline and one that most people consider to be a dismal science. But it's totally irresponsible to have a loud and voracious opinion on economic subjects while remaining in the state of ignorance." Wow. Did this guy come up with that saying, today is yesterday's tomorrow, and if tomorrow never comes, today isn't even here? I just dropped in to see what condition my condition is in. Now I'm getting doublespeak, and it almost sounds real. We'll take your phone calls today, folks. 512-246-9549. Anything you'd like to opine about? If you've never been on air before, don't let that stop you. Make crib notes. Get on the air. Make your points. Get in, get out.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
It becomes even more irresponsible when we're talking about attempting to force business owners to raise their cost of production after having seen the enormous hit they took last year. Now, the Washington Post is reporting that more than 100,000 small businesses closed forever. And that was back in May of 2020, folks. In September, Yelp provided data showing that 60% of business closures were permanent. 60% meaning 97,966 businesses. And there's no doubt that the remaining small businesses saw a major hit in both revenue and profits as they were forced by government officials to scale back operating capacity. And let me stop and digress here for a second, because here's the deal. A lot of these companies, in order to stay in business, they gave up their brick-and-mortar location. They sent the employees home, set them up, and the business owner and the secretary, they're all in different locations, and the employees are sitting in their basements, or probably by now sitting in mom or grandma's basement because they lost their place. Everybody has been doing everything to try to survive for that wonderful day that the government lifts all the sanctions. Notice I use the term sanctions on the American people. Over this COVID crap that we know is just that, crap. So we're creating $2 trillion deficit that everybody's got to pay out to people for what? A problem that they started in the first damn place. Really? This is economic terrorism. These people are terrorists. Whoa. Be careful, John. Only you tinfoil hat sitting on the edge of that limb, bouncing up and down, only you people, you deplorables, are terrorists. Really. There's no doubt that the remaining small businesses saw a major hit, as I said, in both revenue and profits, as they were forced by government officials to scale back operating capacity, increase costs for sanitation equipment, adapt to changes in consumer behavior during the COVID-19 outbreak, or non-outbreak, let's just put it that way, or simply remain closed for extended periods of time. Now, many of those same politicians want to significantly raise the total cost of production for these struggling businesses by increasing their cost of labor to a minimum of $15 an hour. I don't know why they're doing this. All the illegals that they're going to allow into this country in the future, plus the 30, 40 million that are already here, they're going to have plenty of cheap labor. What do they want to raise it for? Don't you know them damn wetbacks will get a whole family in there to work and all live in the same house and ride in the same car? They're great at cutting cost. Oh, I'm sorry, McDonald's already did that. Are we the only people here in Texas? Have you heard from anybody else, Mike? Do we have nothing? Did McDonald's go Mexican? Are they going to call themselves McTaco or something from now on? Because down here in Texas, folks, I'm serious. Any fast food joint you walk into, you think you walked into a place in Mexico. You know, maybe Tijuana. Even on its face, this is a bad idea. In fact, since everybody now believes in the following the science, over 70% of economists surveyed in 2019 agreed that the federal minimum wage should not be raised to $15. Only 6% believe that it's a very efficient means to target individuals in poverty. However, we don't need to only rely on popular opinion to understand that this is a terrible idea. If one were to imagine a supply and demand curve, one could easily see that the cost of labor increases, the quantity demanded decreases, while the quantity supplied, of those seeking a job, by the way, increases. The equilibrium point is where the two curves cross. Placing a price floor doesn't change the curves themselves, but simply creates a new point at which the supply of labor cost does not meet the demand for labor. The gap between those points is an unemployment created by the wage policy. Now, anybody that's taken an economy 101 course can see that. It's frequently argued that the minimum wage laws raise wages. Now, this may be true for some, that is, those who keep their jobs, but it is untrue for those who either become unemployed or are never able to be employed in the first place. In other words, the workers for whom the wage increase applies gain at the cost of those who lose out on their wages entirely. Another common scenario that the untrained eye misses is the change in hours that employees work. While they may not get a raise in hourly wages, there's no guarantee that workers will still see an increase in total wages earned. That is, if their actual paychecks, in their actual paychecks. But back in January 2019, an article on the U.S. News website made this very point. It said more than three-quarters of the restaurants in New York City have reduced employee hours since the minimum wage was increased to $15 an hour. In a survey by the New York City Hospitality Alliance, 76.5% of full-service restaurant respondents said they had to reduce employee hours, and 36% said they eliminated jobs in 2018 in response to the mandated wage increase. You know, this equity thing, folks, you know, it's not equality anymore, it's equity. Oh, that sounds a lot like money to me. And what a better way to redistribute wealth is make demands. When was the last time that you heard government saying anything about business that made any sense to you? people aren't like blocks of wood. They just can't simply be chipped away at certain policies. They respond and react to situations as they happen. Whether the jobs become automated or hours are decreased, businesses will adapt so they can keep from operating at a loss and going under. That's the whole idea behind business. You do this to make a profit, not to just keep your doors open because you're a nice guy. So, good idea? No. But here again, let me point out, folks, that they don't need $15 minimum. They will find a labor pool out there willing and able to go to work. They may not speak no English. I know I play English. Don't worry, we'll get you a ship supervisor to be the interpreter. I've ran into that so many times. Somebody is waiting on me, and I look at them and I ask a question. They look at me and say, no, comprende. And then they turn to find somebody that it interprets. And I'm thinking to myself, God. And you've heard me tell this story many times. You know, for a while there, it was the retirees that were out there trying to keep pace. And this is where high school students used to work at McDonald's. Remember their pitch? Oh, we'll teach the young people, be part of the community and serve the public and make great burgers and teach you all about working. Yes. And to watch the old folks trying to keep up with the high school students, it was heartbreaking. It really was. So, well, let's just do all the way with that. You know, let's get rid of the high school kids. Let's get rid of the old folks. You know, they can't move that fast. And let's just hire all the Mexicans. We got a labor force, man. There are going to be millions and millions and millions. Don't worry. Even if they don't get their $15 minimum wage, McDonald's will get their employees. Did I give out the call-in number, Mike? I thought I did as well. You know, this is live and interactive. If nobody's interested in talking, why am I interested in talking? 512-246-9549. And again, I had a guy call yesterday. He was nervous as a cat. And he was having a hard time relating his point. Here's a clue. In regular mainstream, less than 1% of listening audience ever responds by direct input, phone calls, whatever else. For us, it's a little bit higher, but it's way below 5%. And some of the reasons people don't call in is because, well, I'm going to panic. I'm going to be speaking, and a lot of people are going to hear me. Don't worry. We won't tell them who you are. But here's the point of bringing this up. Make crib notes so you don't lose track of what you want to say. Okay? Make your own notes. You made crib notes in high school, didn't you? And in college, didn't you? Why did you do that? Well, to help you. Well, help me help you. Help me help you. Boy, that was a cheap one. Oh, stop. You tried doing this for 30 years and see, you've come up with something new and different. I dare say. Well, what are they doing over in Missouri? You know, that was referred to the flyover states. And the implication was that the East Coast and West Coast politics and the power and the electoral votes was more important than these other states in the middle. Missouri House okays Ozark makers' plan to push back on federal gun laws. Okay. Jefferson City, citing fears of impending tyranny, The Missouri House gave initial approval to a plan to limit the reach of the federal gun laws here Wednesday. That means yesterday. I don't know who the hell writes this stuff. Do they require journalists to take writing courses? I guess not. Because I failed English when I was in the 7th and 8th grade, and I can compose better than these people do. And I hated English. At any rate. Citing fears of impending tyranny, the Missouri House gave initial approval to limit the federalities. Let's just say it that way. The bill from Representative Jared Taylor, Republican out of Christian County, would bar state and local law enforcement from enforcing any federal mandates that ban or discourage law-abiding citizens from having guns, accessories, or ammunition. I'll get back to the law-abiding citizen thing here for a second, because they're going to make you illegal one way or the other. Don't hold your breath, in other words. Taylor and other Republicans said they're expecting a lot of stuff with Democrats now in Congress, in control, and the White House. Indeed, JoJo campaign on banning assault weapons style, I'll correct what the writer didn't do right, and the high-capacity magazines as part of his plan to end gun violence. Congressional Democrats have proposed various limitations and regulations Republicans abhor. I don't know about you, Taylor said, but I think Missourians know what's best for Missouri, not some congressman or congresswoman from California, Illinois, or even from Texas. Hey, 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 hey! We took no claim for Beto O'Rourke just because the idiot ran for the Senate down here and got his butt kicked. Careful there. Taylor's bill would not stop federal officials from enforcing new federal restrictions anyway, but he said it would ensure they do so on their own. Any state or local agency employing someone who helps enforce an objectionable law could be sued and face minimum fines of $50,000 per violation. Well, let's make the ambulance chasers happy. The idea, Taylor said, is to make them think twice before they go and seize an AR-15. You know, excuse me, Missouri, you know what we're going to do down here? If they're not smart enough to think twice about coming for our AR-15s down here in Texas, we're not going to give them a chance to think twice. They only get to make the mistake once. And what do you think the outcome of that initial visit's going to be? Yeah. Previous version of the bill had called for banning offending officers from Missouri law enforcement entirely, but Taylor said he thought hitting agencies' pocketbooks would be more effective. Yeah. He said the change would also address criticism from the state sheriff, including Greene County, Jim Arnott, who said the original bill would penalize deputies for working with federal officials to fight violent crime. You know, and here's the misnomer, this violent crime thing. Yeah, is it easier to use a handgun? Yeah, that's what most of the criminals use. Yeah, they do. But take a look at the countries that have banned the possession of firearms in private citizens' hands. You know what they've done? They've gone out and got machetes, man. Baseball bats, knives, tire irons, it doesn't matter. Somebody gets an urge to kill you, they're going to kill you with what's at hand, not fearing that you're going to have a gun when you're using your baseball bat. Fighting violent crime, any criminal that commits a crime, it's not the gun that commits the crime, it's the criminal himself, no matter what means he accomplishes his little ill-begotten feat. Taylor said this addresses their concern. Well, it wasn't clear that that was true Wednesday. Lewis County Sheriff David Parrish, who leads the Sheriff's Association lobbying efforts, said in a brief interview, I'm not sure that necessarily remedies our concern. The change didn't win any Democrats over either. Representative Peter Meredith, Democrat out of St. Louis, said Taylor's proposal of financial penalty amounted to an attempt to defund the police. Yeah. It seems like people want to support law enforcement until it comes to something that law enforcement says they need to fight violent crime, Meredith said. Then gun worship is more important. Look, you clown. You liberal libtard asshat. Yeah. Do you think I crawl in my closet at night to cuddle up with my firearms? Do you think I love my firearms? They're cold pieces of steel that are designed for one thing, and that's taking human life. Yeah, we get it. What you're worried about is it may take yours for stepping outside that Constitution and coming to grab the guns, you damn idiots.
Are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
All right, we're back. Let's go to the phones, BC and PA. Hello.
Hi, John.
Hello.
I've been with you since the early days of shortwave, but I never called in.
Oh.
I had a suggestion. You know, it pertains to the music of Steve Voss, the one they wouldn't produce it for. Love his music. It sticks to you like glue, and it affects your mind and soul. I would love to get it. If it's possible, My suggestion is we send another donation in the RBN with a self-addressed stamped envelope, and you get some order blanks from Steve Boss and stick it in there and send them back. Everybody's happy. What do you think? It can be done.
Well, funny you should mention that, because in this past week I've been thinking about calling Steve and getting him on the program. And I will have to ask him if he is still selling his CDs, and if that's the case.
Well, if that can happen, I'll be listening, and I'll be ready to send in another check.
He does, you know what's fascinating to me? I've used his music for years. Nobody else ever uses his music.
I love it. I've tried for years to get it. I only heard some of it. But if I could afford it, I'd love to hand it out at the gas station, at the corner store, or wherever, because that stuff sticks.
Well,
wakes you up inside.
Well, and you know what?
Me and you, we can talk our heads off.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, it goes in one ear and flies right out the other. Music don't.
I'll tell you what I would do if I had the ability to do multiple copy giveaways. I'd just go to truck stops and hand them out to the truckers.
Same thing.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah,
well, hey,
it works.
BC, I appreciate the call. I'll be looking into that.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate your call. Pat in Fort Worth. Hello, Pat.
Oh, hi. Do you know there's a new germ out there called Candida auris, A-U-R-I-S?
No.
It's supposed to be catching in the hospital. Now, what's that all about? They gave all the employees the vaccination, and they don't have no employees to take care of you. So the government will just pay them for nothing.
Well, there's a big payola going to a lot of people. I mean, we've got over 660 hospitals in this country right now, literally on the verge of bankruptcy. And now I think we can understand why the hospitals keep putting out this crap. You know, the only constructive thing I've seen these hospitals do, I don't know if you tour the web that much. YouTube's got 1,000,001 videos of the hospital staffs getting together and having dance parties. You know, how busy can they be if they got time to sit down and choreograph? You know, we're not talking about short dances like 30 seconds or a minute. We're talking 5 minutes, 10 minutes. This is well rehearsed. They'd spend hours doing it. Why do they have the time? But, Pat, seriously, a lot of these hospitals are holding out and keeping this false meme going because they got their hand out. They need money.
Oh, I know what they do. And they really need to be hit. Somebody else sent us a caller that we need to be hitting all these places with antitrust laws, because there's one hospital buying everything around here. Terrible.
Well,
you don't dare report anything that you see like they want you to, because they'll probably get you at some other hospital when you go in. It's awful.
It is. All right. Hey, Pat, I got top of the hour break. Thank you for your call. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Yeah, Candida, that's a female thing, isn't it? Say what? Many variations. Kind of like the COVID they're coming out with. Oh, my gosh, it's morphing, as flu does every single year. 75 degrees down here in Texas right now, folks. Jeez, doesn't sound like it's flu season to me.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.